I'm more, I guess I'm not known as much for drumming as much as I am known for like building Drumeo and Musora and Pianote and Singio and our education platforms.
Yeah.
But I still play, like my drum set's right behind me. I play pretty much every day. For me, it's been like, I would play drums whether I was in the industry or not. It was one of these things that I'm just addicted to music, and I think it's like a universal language, and it's one of these things where I think everyone should have music in their life in some way or another. In 2003, I put up a video. We started putting up videos online, and the way I always frame that with people is like, it's before Facebook. Before, like, what are we on here? We're on some Riverside software that's doing this incredible, like, mixing of what we're doing. Yeah. But when we started putting videos online, it was like, there's nothing. So it was really, really hard, actually. But so from there, we went to DVDs. From DVDs, we launched, like, membership platforms. So kind of like Netflix for drum lessons, Netflix for piano.
Gotcha.
And and now we're hosting great artists from all over the world when travel allows, and I've built a team. We have around 80 to 90 people working at Musora now, and I always tell people I'm kind of like an accidental CEO. Like, I never really planned to build this, but it just keeps growing, and I just keep working my butt off, and good things happen.
At what point did you realize Drumeo was kind of taking off? At what year did you think that you really had to like take this seriously and kind of fall into that CEO role?
Yeah, I guess we had a drummer out named Larnell Lewis. Larnell plays with Snark, like before he started playing with Snarky Puppy.
Yeah.
And I remember when he came to the studio, our studio was in this like, in the farmland area. Sorry, my voice is going bad, but it was like out in the farmland, and Larnell's like 6'6".
Yeah.
He's a huge dude. I remember when he gets out of the back of the car, just kind of like unfolds himself. And then he comes in and he does the session, and it just goes like, there's just this magic in the studio with him there. And I remember sitting there just being like, this is really amazing content and inspirational content for drummers. Yeah. And I remember thinking, for us, it's all about people watching something. They do like a digital interaction, but they have to make a physical action themselves. So I want to keep people on the instrument. And so I love content that I watch and I have to run to play drums right afterwards.
Right,
and that
right.
video with Larnell, we had Sonny Emery out. He played with Earth, Wind & Fire and Bette Midler. We had a guy named Thomas Pridgen out, Michael Shack. All these early Drumeo guests really helped to kind of set the stage and the tone for now what we do, you know, in other instruments as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What you're kind of understating the importance of what you did, I would say, because when I was a young drummer, you know, in the late 90s, when I was like between the ages of 10 and 9 and 12, I lived like everybody else did. We didn't have drums, weren't really something that kids were allowed to play too much, not because my parents didn't want me to, but because it was loud and we lived in a small apartment. And in those days, to learn, there were no teachers in our town, and I had to go on a bus, sometimes two buses, back when kids were allowed to ride buses at those ages alone. And I had to walk up through our downtown, in quotations, and then walk through a mall, and then cross a bridge over a major road, and then go into the musical center. I just went back and did a bit of a pilgrimage with the same walk. And then I would get 30 to 45 minutes with the teacher. Then I had to do all of that travel back. And then I couldn't practice. I had to just sit there and think about it. And then if I wanted to go practice, my parents paid for me to just use the room. And I would again have to take that ride and go there. And if you wanted to learn something new, not just from your teacher, you would just have to sort of hope to meet another drummer and be like, wait, what are paradiddle-diddles? Please tell me.
Yeah.
And it just watching kids online now playing, like 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds that just tear any of us a new one, It's because of you, right? It's because of what you did and other contemporaries did for other instruments, where you said that basically knowledge is for everyone, and now that we have the internet, we can just share it, and you can just see an explosion of musicianship that was just not possible before, especially at earlier ages. So I want to personally thank you for that, and just explain to the rest of the listeners who are not musicians how important that is and how accessible you make music education to the whole world.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, I never was thinking of it like that. I always had super supportive parents, and, you know, my parents, I had great private teachers, like probably 10 different private teachers in the first while. So I'm not against private instruction. I wasn't like, let's take down private teachers. I want to crush them. You know, it was never like that. It was more like, I'm sick of paying $50 for a freaking DVD of a drummer shredding. You know, I want to try and get this information out there using modern technology. Like, when YouTube came out, like, we were on YouTube in 2006.
Yeah.
You know, we started our first channels there. Not, early, you know, so I was on Facebook, I think, earlier than that or at that time. So for me, it's just like using technology to connect with students and help them to get inspired to stay on the instrument. You know, that's what it is. And but that's really cool to hear that, Matt.
I'm sure you've heard stories like your that story from all over the world.
Oh, for sure. Like, especially, like, a lot of people don't have access to a private teacher. You know, there's none in the area, or they don't have enough money because it's like $50 an hour or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And so, did you guys take private lessons? All of you?
I did. I think we all. Yeah.
I didn't take for drum. I didn't. Well, I took private lessons, but not for drums.
Well, okay.
I remember when Sarah Thower
piano.
Was here.
We were... two. I can't hear everybody at the same time. My bad. Piano. My bad.
Yeah. The great thing is, we always hear these delays, but then when we listen back, it's fine. So we spend more time worrying about the weirdness that happens. And you know, so now I just explained a little bit of our. This magic. Is how it goes. We should have a live audience to hear the delays with us at some point too. That'd be cool.
Yeah, just to attest that we're not just being weird. One thing about teachers is that we had Sarah Thower here, and she was telling us, I'm sure she told you the same thing, that one teacher is just not enough. Her opinion is, and I kind of have to agree with her. She's like, I can't just do a teacher because there's so much to know. And if you stick to one teacher, you start kind of playing too much like them. Or almost like a parody of them in a way. So, again, you bringing together, you know, the sum of the world's greatest teachers into one place really changes the musicians that are out in the world right now.
Great point.
Yeah. And that's perspective, right? And so one of our taglines used to be like an army of drum instructors, you know, to give you perspective on everything you ever want to know. About drumming, and I think, but that's more of a lesson, like for life in general. You know, when you're too narrowed in on one perspective, fitting whatever confirmation bias you have, like we're seeing that now in this huge division in the entire world with what's going on, and it's because people just don't have empathy for others, aren't willing to research others' perspective, and you know, walk in their shoes a little bit, and so that's what I think different teachers allow us to do. It's like, music doesn't discriminate at all. You know, music is, it's all cultures, all different types of people can experience music. Yeah. You know, so I think it's really important that we as musicians, like, are accepting of all different types of people in all cultures and study all of those, because I think then we're going to get the best music as a result of that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. It's interesting because you mentioned you wear a couple different hats. The musician, the teacher, the businessman, which kind of, you said you stumbled upon. I mean, it kind of just happened in a major way, actually. But how did you start to transition from, I guess, drummer to teacher, but more so teacher to businessman, and kind of this explosion of online resources that you have built?
Yeah. Well, my first business was in grade 6 or 7. I used to play hockey, and so I would change rollerblade wheels for my friends, and I would turn them and put on. So I was like charging for that. And then And then I sold hockey cards online. There's these old news groups. I think it was the Yahoo news groups. And so I was flipping hockey cards online. Yeah. And my dad had a construction company. My dad and my grandpa were like huge inspirations for me. Yeah, from a business perspective, you know, they're entrepreneurs. And so they taught me a lot about what it means to do that, especially from an operational point of view. Mm, you know, I would say my grandpa's name was Abe, and I have this thing called Be Abe. and it's like he would put on a suit, he'd be doing his sales pitches, and then he'd put on his coveralls and go unload a truck. And then he would take off the suit, go back into the boardroom. And I love that, you know, that idea of like getting your hands dirty, but then also understanding the entire business. Yeah. And so, yeah, so I started selling hockey cards. Then I learned eBay in 1999 and started flipping stuff on eBay, flipped vehicles for a while, like, like not flipped them, but actually like bought them and sold them for more.
A lot of you are familiar with the DNA Project and have been rocking with us for a while, but some of you aren't. A lot of you are faithful listeners of the podcast, but aren't familiar with some of the other work that we do. So I just want to take a quick moment to explain to you a little bit more of what we do. So you're getting married, or you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, somebody you know is getting married. Okay, you've booked your venue, caterers, photographer, all that good stuff. When it comes to live music, most people have no idea where to look. We have you covered. Picture this. During the ceremony, while guests are being seated, or while the bride's walking down the aisle. During the cocktail hour, while guests are just mingling and having a good time. Don't forget about dinner music. That's very important to set the mood while guests eat. And we definitely can't forget the party. Let's get the party started right now with the DNA Project. www.thednaproject.ca for more information.